So who says he can't go home again? It's really good to be here to Holy Nativity today. I will admit, given the predictions for this week, I did prepare the sermon early in the week just in case, and I'm glad I did. In today's gospel, we hear Jesus say, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also." Wow. Powerful words and huge challenge to many of us. If we want to get to the Father, we must know Jesus first. Some of you may have known Jesus since you were born, or at least as soon as your parents started dragging you to Sunday school. Others like me, it was a little bit later in life. I've told others that if I had to write a story of my own spiritual growth, I would call it From the Armpit of Jesus. And perhaps I should explain that. I really don't remember ever going to church with my family growing up, except maybe for a funeral or something like that. I know my older brothers went. And cleaning up my parents' house after my dad died last year, I found their Bibles. Even found a photo of one of them receiving their perfect attendance pin, which I really think was a fake photo. I was the baby of the family by a long shot with a big gap in there. I think the correct family planning term for this is, oops. My parents, I guess, gave up on church attendance by the time I came along. As a youth, I think some of my friends asked me to go to church with them, but it scared me. Never went that I can remember. And then I met my wife, Diane, almost 36 years ago. And she told me that if I wanted to marry her, I had to go to church with her. It scared me, but I loved her. So I often went to St. Paul's Catholic Church in Pensacola with her. First service I went to was Midnight Mass at Christmas, the one with all the smells and bells. And we were married there 34 years ago. Moved to Panama City, tried to various Catholic churches here, but never really seemed to fit in, never was comfortable. Fast forward a few years to 1985, and we attended a funeral for a dear friend here at Holy Nativity, first time I'd ever been here, actually what's now Batten Hall, before this building was even built. Father Bob Batten impressed us. We loved the building, the people, and the service. And I worked with Charlotte Batten at the time, out at Mosley, and she told me that you had services here every Sunday. What a novel idea. We started attending, and I was baptized with my older daughter, Rachel, almost 26 years ago. Soon I was confirmed, Diane was received, my younger daughter Rebecca was born and baptized here, and soon Father Bob asked me to be a lay Eucharistic minister, although chalice bearer was the term at the time and much easier to say. I think the training basically was try not to spill the blood of Christ on people. Okay, that's tougher than it seems, and I apologize for any of you that had to go home and wash your clothes after I violated that rule. Sorry. In the old church, now Batten Hall, we had the life-size carving of Jesus hanging on the wall behind the altar, just like it used to be in here. If you think it looks huge in that wall now, you should have seen it over in Batten Hall. From where the lay Eucharistic ministers sat, you couldn't even see the pulpit. So during sermons, I mostly stared up at that left armpit of the carving while listening. Slowly, I began to feel like I was starting to know who Jesus really was to me. Soon we moved into this sanctuary, and through sermons by Father Bob, Father Sid, Father Donald, Father John, Father Arnold, Father Tom, Father Dennis, Father Tom again, Father William, and finally Father Steve, I still stared at that left armpit every Sunday that I served. After the remodeling a few years ago, the carving moved to the wall above the baptismal font, a move that really does make sense, and I applaud Father Steve's insistence on moving it there during the remodel. On that first Sunday in his beautiful remodeled sanctuary, I was taking some photos. Easter Sunday, as I recall. I went up the hidden stairs to the magic trapdoor left just for photos behind the carving. Took a photo during the service while Father Steve was talking about the resurrection. When I looked at the photo on my viewfinder, I realized it was again from the left armpit of Jesus. And I'll admit that I was moved to tears while standing there up there all by myself. Well, really not by myself. It was just me and Jesus. Getting to know Jesus, all of him, and not just that armpit. Several years before, Father Tom gave a sermon where he talked about all the other stuff in the Book of Common Prayer besides just the Holy Eucharist that begins on page 355. Most of you pick up your prayer book, it instantly opens to 355. On page 855, I found this tidbit after digging through some, including the catechism in the back of the book. Who are the ministers of the church? The ministers of the church are laypersons, bishops, priests, and deacons. What's the ministry of the laity? The ministry of laypersons is to represent Christ and his church to bear witness to him wherever they may be, and according to their gifts given them, to carry on Christ's work of reconciliation in the world and to take their place in the life, worship, and governance of the church. I found it interesting that the ministry of laypersons was listed first before bishops, priests, and deacons. I realized the importance that the church puts on lay ministry. And though maybe I should do something to kick myself up a little bit and increase my own knowledge a little. As luck would have it, Father Tom was starting a new education for ministry program here at Holy Nativity. Not ordained ministry, but for lay ministry. So I took the plunge and started a new journey in my own life. After 4 years of study and reflection, I graduated from the program, although I'd already become a mentor. Now it's been 7 years since I started, and I'm still studying with several groups each week, always learning more about Christ and his church. The real reason I'm here today is in the role of proud EFM mentor, to present some diplomas to those that graduate this year. And we'll do that during the announcements in a few minutes. Back to today's gospel. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. This is part of Jesus' farewell discourse at the Last Supper. Jesus announces imminent departure, consoles his followers, gives them directions, and promises to be with them again. We weren't there to hear it in the first person. We only hear it through stories left us in the Gospels. We have to search out and follow those directions, get to know Jesus, and then promise to be with him again. Learning who Jesus is really becomes like everything else we do in life. It's a constant learning process. Every week, the church shares 4 different readings from the Bible with each other, usually an Old Testament lesson, part of the Book of Psalms, an epistle reading, and always a gospel reading. And the preacher each week will elaborate on some of the readings with the sermon, and hopefully you listen to it. So what else can you do to know Jesus? One thing that many Episcopalians or Anglicans around the world do every day is to follow the daily office that's laid out in the back of the prayer book. People far wiser than I am have laid out a systematic series of readings from the Bible for all of us to read every day. It follows a 2-year cycle and takes just a few minutes every day. If you don't want to kill time trying to figure out that schedule in the back of the prayer book, and it is a little complex, and you don't want to take the time looking at the various readings in your Bible, which can be lengthy to find, then there are several websites that have the readings posted each day. And I will admit, that is how I get my daily readings most days, from a few silent moments, reading off my computer monitor. Just me, God, and the internet. Bless you, Al Gore. I like to think of it as God's daily blog. I can also get it off my cell phone if I'm not near my computer, and there's various books available that do the same. I don't think it can be made any easier. Holy Nativity has offered various Christian education programs throughout the year by Father Steve and Father Tom, other book study and Bible study groups through the week. Also, I think I read that Jane Burkett, a fellow Education for Ministry graduate, is offering a study of the Eucharist starting next month on Sunday mornings. If you have an interest in some aspect of Christian education that's not being offered here, then I hope you talk to Father Steve or someone with your suggestions. Personally, my choice of study was Education for Ministry program. EFM meets once a week for 34 weeks of the year for 2.5 hours. The program lasts for 4 years, although some will do just a year or two. Many start with the idea of just 1 year, but they eventually come back to finish. The more you learn, the more you will want to know, it seems. After 7 years, I've decided to retire from EFM here at Holy Nativity to start a new group out at Grace Episcopal, our new church home. However, do not despair. The Wednesday night group will continue through the leadership of Mike Dickey and a good core of experienced students and some guidance from Father Tom. If you have any questions, please see Mike, or I'm sure Father Tom is always willing to discuss EFM if you're interested. Father Steve is also a past EFM student, but kind of an overachiever, it seems. He jumped straight into seminary instead of finishing EFM, and we're glad that he did. One more time from the gospel. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. I really want to point out that knowing Jesus is more than just an academic endeavor. It's a process of letting that knowledge into all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. These are the words of the Great Commandment, and probably my own favorite lines of Scripture. When the scribes and Pharisees challenged Jesus, they sent a lawyer who asked Jesus, "What was the greatest commandment?" Kind of a trick question. Jesus replied that you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Do yourself a favor. Grow in your walk with Christ every day. Learn all you can about the Son of God, the Anointed One, Emmanuel, Lamb of God, the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ. Love him openly with your heart, soul, and mind. We'll close with Christ's closing line to Philip and the rest of the disciples in today's gospel. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Amen.